Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust. Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
What crushed your ex after they celebrated your breakdown like a victory? Story 1. I had a mental breakdown after I lost my job during COVID. My ex of 2 years broke up with me the next day, calling me a sinking ship. 2 weeks later, I found out she'd already started dating someone else, a coworker of mine, no less. They both made fun of me on social media. Comments like upgrade season and dead weight gone were not subtle. Fast forward 18 months, I land a remote job at a tech startup that exploded. I worked hard, got equity, and by the next year, I'd bought my first house. The kicker? That same coworker cheated on her with someone from Tinder. I only found out because she messaged me at 2 a.m. I miss your stability. You always had goals. I left her on read. Nothing says growth like silence. Story 2. She dumped me because I was too obsessed with music, claiming I'd never make anything out of it. I spiraled for a while. Depression, stopped writing, couldn't touch my guitar. Meanwhile, she flaunted her new beginnings on Instagram with captions like, "Finally free from deadbeats." What she didn't know was, I started producing beats for local artists under a pseudonym. One track blew up, like really blew up. A famous rapper used it and credited me. I got signed to a label 6 months later. 2 months after that, she DM'd my producer account, not knowing it was me, saying she loved my vibe and wanted to collab on her podcast intro. I quoted her $5,000. She ghosted after that, but I smiled for a week straight. Story 3. I was hospitalized for anxiety attacks. She visited once, told me I was pathetic and too broken to love, then left. A month later, she posted pics of herself on vacation with a guy I recognized, her personal trainer. I spent the next year rebuilding myself, therapy, running, clean eating, and eventually joining a trauma support group. I also returned to school for counseling. 2 years later, I ran into her at a coffee shop. She looked stunned. I was in shape, confident, and, oh yeah, speaking at a mental health conference the next week. She said, "You seem really good." I said, "I am. Thanks for being my rock bottom," and walked away. Story 4. We were supposed to move in together. I got laid off a month before the lease started. Instead of supporting me, he accused me of being unambitious and called off the relationship and the lease. I couch surfed, then moved into a crummy studio and started freelancing in graphic design. I built a client base fast. Turns out getting dumped really lights a fire under you. Within a year, I had my own agency. He messaged me on LinkedIn a year later asking if I was hiring. Said he got let go and needed work. I didn't even reply. Just screenshotted the message and sent it to my best friend with a caption, "Life's poetic." Story 5. He laughed when I got diagnosed with bipolar disorder. Laughed. Said he didn't sign up for that. And ghosted me during my worst episode. Told mutuals I was crazy and wouldn't make it. I made it. 2 years, mood stabilization, art therapy, and a support system later, I published a graphic novel about that time in my life. It went viral on BookTok. I was even invited to speak at a convention about mental health in art. Guess who showed up in the signing line, nervously smiling? He said, "Wow, this is all about what happened to you?" I looked him in the eye and said, "No. It's about how I survived what you did to me." Signed his copy, handed it back, and moved on to the next person. Story 6. When we were together, I had this dream of opening my own cafe. I worked barista jobs for years, saving every extra penny, designing the concept, building a menu. She always told me I was delusional for wanting to leave a stable 9-to-5 to serve lattes, said no one with a real brain would risk their future on a fantasy. Then I got fired. Budget cuts. I was devastated. And she used that as her exit plan, said I wasn't a man, packed up, and moved out within 48 hours. A week later, she was tagged in selfies with some insurance guy from her office. Glow-up season, she captioned it. I spent the next year living cheap, sometimes skipping meals to save. I launched my cafe from a food truck with a loan from a cousin. It took time, but the moment we went viral for our cinnamon cardamom brew, everything changed. Local press, influencers, even a YouTuber did a review. I turned that truck into a brick-and-mortar store in 18 months. Last month, she walked into the cafe. I watched her freeze the second she saw my photo on the owner's wall. She ordered something basic, couldn't look me in the eye. When I handed her the coffee, I smiled and said, "Not bad for delusional, huh?" She didn't finish the drink. Story 7. He left me the day after I lost our baby. I was still bleeding when he told me he couldn't do this, and that this wasn't what he signed up for. He moved out that night, left me crying on the bathroom floor. No support, no check-in, nothing. Just blocked me on everything and told our mutual friends that I was emotionally unstable and obsessed with loss. For a while, I believed him. I sank, couldn't eat, couldn't shower, didn't want to live. But something in me clicked after 6 months. I joined a pregnancy loss support group. I started writing about it anonymously, a blog. That blog turned into a community, then into speaking gigs, then into a book deal. 3 years later, I was on the cover of a women's magazine for my advocacy work. That same month, he messaged me from a burner Instagram account asking if I remembered him. I didn't respond, but I posted a quote on my story the next day. Some people bury you thinking you're dead, but you're a seed. He saw it, and that was enough. Story 8. She dumped me while I was in the middle of cancer treatment. No joke. Said it was too much and that she needed joy, not hospital visits. And then she started dating a guy from her yoga studio who sold essential oils and called himself a vibrational healer. My treatment was brutal. Chemo destroyed me. I lost my hair, my appetite, and nearly my will to keep going. But I did. I survived. When I went into remission, I started hiking again, something I hadn't done in years. Nature brought me back to life. Eventually, I started a blog about recovery and hiking with chronic illness. It caught fire. A sponsor reached out, then another. I'm now a full-time creator, traveling the world, hiking beautiful places, raising awareness, and living the life I almost never got to see. Last year, her healer boyfriend got arrested for selling fake supplements. Her IG went dark. Months later, she messaged me saying I inspired her, and if I wanted to catch up, I just sent her a picture of the Himalayas from my tent with the caption, "Catching up with peace" instead. Story 9. He thought I was the problem. Every time I tried to talk about my depression, he'd roll his eyes, call me dramatic, say, "Other people have it worse." When I finally had a breakdown and couldn't get out of bed for 3 days, he said, "I didn't sign up to be your therapist," and left. Ghosted. Moved out while I was asleep. But he didn't just leave. He mocked me publicly. Told our friend group I was mentally unstable, clingy, and that I made things up for attention. I became a joke in our circle. I hit rock bottom. But then I started therapy. Then group therapy. Then volunteering for a crisis line. I learned how to survive, then how to thrive. 2 years later, I became a licensed social worker and started a TikTok channel talking openly about mental health. It grew like wildfire. I now do public speaking at colleges and have written a best-selling self-help book. One day, he messaged me, "Hey, I've been struggling lately. I watch your videos. You really helped me." I replied, "Glad I could help. Wish you'd listened when I needed it too." Then I blocked him. Story 10. She told me I'd never be more than a code monkey, said my startup idea was pathetic, that I should stop dreaming and get a real job. When I was working 12-hour days on my app while living in a basement with no heat, she said, "You're wasting your life," and left. 2 weeks later, she posted a pic with a guy in a Tesla captioned "Upgrades Only." That was 5 years ago. The app? It took off. And when I say off, I mean it got acquired by a major tech firm for 7 figures. I hired a small team, started another venture, and now mentor young entrepreneurs. She sent me a message out of the blue. "Hey, stranger, just saw your article on TechCrunch. So proud of you." I didn't reply. Instead, I tweeted this. "Some people leave when the garage is cold. Others build Teslas in that same garage. It went viral. And yes, she saw it. Story 11. I was fresh out of college, working in nonprofit development. My ex, a finance bro, used to joke that I was doing poverty cosplay and made me feel like trash for not making six figures. When I struggled with burnout and ended up needing a break from work, he told me I was a charity case and said I was too fragile for the real world. He dumped me over brunch with his friends like I was an embarrassing accessory. I still remember the exact quote. She's got passion, but I need a partner who's not emotionally expensive. I moved home, regrouped, and decided to pivot. Got a fellowship to study environmental design. That led to a gig with a major urban planning agency. 4 years later, I was invited to the UN to speak on sustainable cities. The clip went viral on LinkedIn. Guess who liked the post? Guess who then slid into my DMs the same day? I didn't even reply. I just shared a story captioned, "Real value isn't listed on your paycheck." Story 12. I was a stay-at-home dad. My ex-wife made more money, and I took on the role at home with our daughter because it worked for us. Until it didn't for her. She began resenting me, saying I was lazy, that I had no ambition. Eventually, she had an affair with her coworker and filed for divorce, citing my lack of drive as the reason. I was crushed. Not because she left, but because of how she did it. She even tried to get full custody by claiming I was unstable and unfit. It was war in court. But I fought. I got a job as a school librarian, got certified in early childhood.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Ed, and became a child development specialist. I even wrote a parenting book about male caregivers that landed on national morning shows. When my daughter turned 12, she told me, "You were the only one who never left, Dad." That was the moment I knew I won. Not on paper, in life. Story 13. We were YouTubers together. Couple content. Skits, travel vlogs, silly challenges. The channel was under her name, but I was the one editing, scripting, and managing everything. We hit 100,000 subs together, but when I hit a depressive low and couldn't keep up, she locked me out of everything. Said I was dead weight, deleted our old videos, and rebranded as solo, free, empowered. I was devastated. The fans thought I ghosted. She even made a breakup video framing me as a jealous, lazy guy who couldn't handle her glow-up. I started over from scratch. New channel, new name, new content. Focused on video editing, storytelling, and mental health transparency. Took 2 years, but I passed her in subs, then views, then sponsorships. One day she left a comment on one of my videos. "Proud of how far you've come." I hearted it. Not because I forgave her, but because now my fans dragged her in the replies. I didn't need revenge. I just needed to keep going. Story 14. My ex broke up with me in a group text. Not a typo. A group text with mutual friends. She said she couldn't keep pretending and that I was too boring and unmotivated. Said it was time for her main character era. She even added, "Maybe this'll give him the wake-up call he needs." I was humiliated. I left the chat, deleted social media, and went offline for almost a year. But what she didn't know was that I'd secretly been working on a sci-fi manuscript, something I never talked about because she mocked nerdy things. Well, in that year off-grid, I finished it, found a small publisher, and it got picked up by a mid-size imprint after buzz from an indie book reviewer. My debut sold 40,000 copies in the first 6 months. Even got fan art. She followed my author page on Instagram last week. I didn't block her. I want her to see it every time a fan calls me brilliant. Story 15. He used to mock my weight. Subtly at first. Comments like, "Maybe try the salad." Or, "Let's take a pic from above." More flattering. I internalized it. I developed an eating disorder. He told me I was too sensitive. Eventually, I ended up in an outpatient program. When I was admitted, he said, "This is too much. I didn't sign up to date someone with problems." Then he left. told people I was a burden and too insecure to handle. Recovery was hell, but I did it, slowly. I learned about body neutrality. I found a fitness coach who understood trauma. I started lifting, then training, then competing. Eventually, I became a certified strength coach, and I now run online programs for women in ED recovery. Last month, I got interviewed in a fitness magazine. I shared my story, name, and all. He texted me, "You look amazing. I'm proud of you." I replied, "Took being crushed to build strength. Thanks for the weights. Blocked. Done. Unshakable." Story 16. We were high school sweethearts, together for 8 years. Everyone thought we'd get married. But when I lost my dad unexpectedly, I unraveled. I stopped going out, stopped smiling, couldn't get out of bed some days. Instead of being supportive, she told me she didn't recognize me anymore, that my grief was too heavy, and she wanted someone lighter. 2 months later, she was dating a mutual friend, the same one who comforted me at the funeral. I stayed single for 3 years. I worked through grief, got into photography to cope, started hiking trails my dad used to take me on, eventually started posting those photos on Instagram. One photo got picked up by a national travel magazine, then another. Then I was hired to do a book. A year later, that friend cheated on her. She messaged me, "I miss the way you saw beauty in everything, including me." I left her on scene, then posted a photo of my dad's old trail with the caption, "Some people are just detours. Some help you find your way home." Story 17. We were both law students. Ambitious, driven, the kind of couple everyone said was power couple material. Until I failed a class during a rough semester where I was taking care of my sick mom. My ex said it showed a lack of discipline and claimed it was proof I'd never make partner. She dumped me. The night grades came out and started dating someone on law review 2 weeks later. I took the L quietly. I retook the class. Took the bar. Didn't get into big law, but started at a small firm that let me work with asylum seekers. I found purpose there. It wasn't glamorous, but I made a difference. 6 years later, I was invited to a Senate roundtable on immigration reform. CNN ran a segment. Her current firm? The one that laid her off after their merger? They saw it. So did she. She emailed me. "I always knew you were destined for impact." I replied, "You just didn't like how quietly I'd get there." Story 18. I used to have a stutter. It made me anxious in social situations. My ex used to finish my sentences for me. At first it seemed sweet, but later I realized it was about control. Then she started mocking it. Said things like, "I can't take you seriously when you talk like that." When I got accepted into a public speaking class to help, she laughed and said, "Why would you put yourself through that?" I took it anyway. She broke up with me 3 weeks later, said I wasn't charismatic enough for her. I kept going. The course changed my life. Not just my speech, but my confidence. I began giving talks, eventually joined Toastmasters, and wild twist. I now coach professionals on storytelling and presentation. At a networking event last year, I was a keynote speaker. She was in the audience with her new boyfriend. After the talk, she approached me and said, "You speak so clearly now. You're magnetic." I smiled and said, "Thanks. You never really heard me before." Story 19. She left me after I got sober. Not before. Not during. After. Said I was too boring now. That she missed the fun me. The guy who went out, drank, partied, had chaos in his eyes. She even said, "You're not who I fell in love with anymore." And she was right. I wasn't. I was finally healthy. She made fun of my new habits, mocked the AA meetings, and told mutuals I was preachy and obsessed with fixing himself. That was 5 years ago. Now I run a halfway house. Help other recovering addicts find footing. I've helped save lives. Hers? She got arrested for a DUI last year. Someone tagged me in the article. I didn't laugh. I felt sad. But I did post a quiet little photo of my 5-year chip with the caption, "Peace isn't loud, but it echoes forever." Story 20. I had always been into game design, tinkering with small projects in Unity, modding games, etc. My ex thought it was childish. She was in HR and always looked down on anything non-corporate. When I lost my retail job during the pandemic, I decided to go all in on a mobile game I'd been prototyping. She called me irresponsible, said I was playing around while she was doing real work. When she broke up with me, her parting words were, "You're not a builder. You're just avoiding reality." It took me 2 years of ramen noodles and freelancing gigs to finish it. But the game caught the attention of a Twitch streamer who had a massive following. It went viral overnight. I quit freelancing, hired a team, and started a small studio. Earlier this year, I got invited to GDC, Game Developers Conference. My face was on the event banner. I got a message from her LinkedIn. "Hey, stranger, would love to connect. I'm pivoting into tech recruiting." I clicked ignore, then walked on stage to speak to 3,000 developers. Story 21. He broke up with me the day I told him I had endometriosis. I was in pain constantly, and the diagnosis had taken years of gaslighting by doctors and second-guessing my own body. I cried when I finally had a name for it. He didn't react with support. He said, "So basically, you're broken, and we probably won't have kids?" I said I didn't know. He said, "I didn't sign up for this," and ghosted me the next day. Just blocked me on everything. 2 years down the drain, while I was recovering from laparoscopic surgery, I joined a support group online. That group changed everything. I started blogging my experiences, talking about invisible illness and medical neglect. A few posts blew up. I got invited to speak at women's health panels. A publisher reached out. I published a book called The Pain They Didn't Believe. One day, I was checking my author DMs and saw a familiar name. Him, a single dad now apparently, who had been doing some thinking, said he was sorry for bailing, and that my writing opened his eyes. I left it unread. I had already forgiven myself for the pain he never even tried to understand. Story 22. We met at art school, and while I was struggling with student loans and part-time gigs, he came from money. He'd always make jabs. "You worry about rent too much to be truly creative." Or, "Maybe you're just not meant to be an artist if it's stressing you out so much." When I had a breakdown from overworking, juggling commissions, and two jobs, he told me I lacked vision and broke up with me. Weeks later, he had a gallery show and introduced his new girlfriend as a true muse. I kept painting, alone, in my apartment with no heat and 3 roommates. I started making massive murals with paint I found in donation bins. I didn't have a plan. But my work was raw, emotional, unfiltered, and big. Eventually, a curator found my stuff on Instagram. I got my own solo show in a gritty warehouse gallery. Years later, I was featured in an art magazine. In the interview, I said, "I make for the version of me who thought art had to be pretty to be seen." He sent me a message. "Your pieces, they feel like something I always wanted to say but couldn't." I replied, "That's because you were too afraid to feel anything real." I didn't send it. I just painted it instead. Story 23. I was diagnosed with ADHD at 28. Suddenly, everything in my life made sense. The missed deadlines, the lost jobs, the exhaustion from masking, the chronic shame. I was relieved and shattered. My boyfriend at the time, not supportive. He said it was just an excuse and that I should try harder. I started meds, therapy, read everything I could. He started pulling away. Told me he was tired of dating a project. I remember exactly how he ended it. "You're not built for success. You're built for chaos. I need someone stable." I cried for weeks, but I kept going. I started a TikTok channel documenting my journey, how I learned to manage my executive dysfunction, how I learned to forgive myself. It resonated. I hit 500,000 followers in less than a year. Then I launched a productivity planner designed specifically for neurodivergent minds. It sold out in days. I was interviewed by NPR. My face on their homepage. He texted me, "Wow, you've built something amazing. Maybe I just didn't get it back then." I replied, "You didn't, but I'm so glad I did." Story 24. He dumped me after my company laid off my entire department. I was in shock, barely holding it together, and he said, "You've been too negative for months. This is just the last straw." I begged him not to leave. I was terrified of being alone, broke, and emotionally wrecked. He left anyway. That same weekend, he posted a pic on his story with the caption, "Nothing like clearing dead weight." That broke me. But necessity is a hell of a motivator. I took freelance gigs, lived on instant noodles, and poured everything into a passion project I never had time for, a financial advice blog for laid-off millennials. I didn't expect it to go anywhere, but it blew up. The timing was perfect. Suddenly, I was writing guest pieces for finance sites, then consulting, then invited to talk on a panel. Now it's a full-time business. 2 years after that breakup, I saw him at a conference where I was the closing speaker. He didn't even recognize me at first. His jaw actually dropped. After the applause, he tried to small talk. I smiled, shook his hand, and walked away with a single sentence. "Thanks for making space for this version of me." Story 25. She left me after I had a panic attack at a music festival. I froze in a crowd, hyperventilating. She called me embarrassing, told me to get over it, and walked away to party with her friends. That night, she hooked up with some guy she barely knew and later said, "You ruined my weekend. I was just reclaiming it. I was devastated. I couldn't trust people after that. I stopped going out. Started therapy, reluctantly. My therapist suggested EMDR and journaling through songwriting. I hadn't played guitar in years, but I started again. One song turned into 10. Then I played at an open mic, then a local bar. People started listening. A producer approached me about cutting a demo. I thought he was joking. He wasn't. My first EP dropped last year, and one of the songs, Left Behind in the Crowd, hit 1 million streams in 4 months. It was about that night. She DM'd me. Is that song about me? It sounds beautiful. I didn't answer, but I added it to a public playlist called Songs I Wrote When They Thought I Was Broken. Story 26. He proposed to me on a beach in front of strangers with a ring I had picked out and paid half for. I was 80% sure it wasn't real love, but I said yes because we'd already been together so long it felt like quitting if I said no. 3 months later, I got into a car accident. Nothing life-threatening, but my recovery required time off work, physical therapy, and assistance. That's when he checked out. Not physically, he still lived in the apartment, but emotionally, gone. Cold, detached. He started staying out later, always working. Then I found the texts. Dozens. He was cheating with a coworker, telling her he felt stuck with me and couldn't leave while I was broken. He didn't leave me, though. Not until I confronted him. Then he spun it like I was unstable and accused me of making up the accident to guilt him into staying. He dumped me via email and returned the ring, scratched. I moved in with my sister, started painting again to get through the physical pain. I hadn't touched a brush in years. Slowly, my style came back. I started uploading time lapses to TikTok. They caught on. One of my videos hit 3 million views. Then commissions started. Then a gallery offer. 2 years later, I had a full solo show. He showed up, uninvited. Said, "Wow, you really turned things around." I looked him dead in the eyes and said, "I was never broken. Just surrounded by people who like to break things." Then I turned my back and never looked again. Story 27. She dumped me on the same day I lost my childhood dog. I came home sobbing, holding a bag of fur from the vet, and she said, "You're being dramatic. It's just a dog. You're exhausting to be around." Then she packed her stuff, slammed the door, and told our friends I was too emotional to handle real life. That night I drank until I blacked out. Woke up on the kitchen floor with my dog's collar in my hand. That was my rock bottom. But grief has strange ways of reshaping us. I started writing letters to my dog as therapy. I posted one online. A stranger commented that it made them cry. Then more strangers. A literary agent saw it. Those letters became a book. Goodbye with Belly Rubs. It became a surprise bestseller. A year later, I gave a reading at a pet loss charity event. I spotted her in the crowd, tears in her eyes. Afterward, she came up and said, "I didn't know you were capable of something so deep." I just smiled and said, "Neither did I. Thanks for leaving when you did." Story 28. We were long distance because he took a job overseas. I supported the move. Sent care packages, stayed up through different time zones, cheered him on every step. But when my mom got diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's, I asked if he'd consider transferring back in a year. His answer? "That sounds like a you problem." Then, 2 weeks later, I saw a photo of him with another girl. Tagged. He didn't even block me, just stopped replying. His last message was, "I need to live a life that doesn't revolve around emotional anchors. I cried every day. Took care of mom. Watched her slowly forget me. Then one day I began turning her memories into short poems. Not for publication, just for sanity. But I started posting them anonymously. The account blew up. I got a book deal. A Mind Full of Dandelions hit the NYT bestseller list. Teachers began using it in classrooms. I found out later he'd been fired from his job overseas for inappropriate behavior. And yeah, he messaged me. "Can we talk?" Number. Some bridges don't burn. They rot. Story 29. He left me while I was finishing my PhD. Said I was too focused and that my ambition made him feel small. I tried to reassure him. Make space. Include him. But he resented every late night, every conference trip, every paper. The final straw? I missed his friend's birthday party to submit a grant application. He called me selfish. Said he wanted someone who knows how to put relationships first and broke up with me. I cried in my advisor's office the next day. She told me, "The ones worth keeping don't require shrinking." I doubled down. Finished my dissertation. Published 3 papers. Was offered a postdoc in Germany. 3 years later, I was back in the States giving a guest lecture at his alma mater. He was in the audience. I didn't see him until after he approached me outside. "You became everything," he said, eyes wide. "No," I replied. "I just stopped apologizing for trying." Then I walked away, finally taller. Story 30. I had a nervous breakdown during my senior year of high school. Academic pressure, family drama, and untreated anxiety finally caved in. I ended up in a psych ward for 6 days. When I got out, my girlfriend had already moved on to my best friend. She didn't even tell me. I saw it on her Snapchat story, them holding hands at prom. She later told mutuals I was too unstable for love and that she needed someone normal. That year, I withdrew from college, but I started journaling, then sharing those entries anonymously online, then writing screenplays based on those moments. Raw, ugly, real. One of them won a student film contest. Another got optioned. Then one of my shorts premiered at a film festival and got picked up by a distributor. Last month, I walked a red carpet for a movie based on the week I was institutionalized. She messaged me on Facebook, "Is that about that time?" I replied, "Yep, and you're the side character no one roots for." Blocked. Movie's now on Hulu. Story 31. We were married when I got diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. I was 32. The symptoms came fast. Fatigue, muscle weakness, blurry vision. I was terrified. He didn't show up to the first neurologist appointment, said he had a work thing. Then came the comments. "I didn't marry a sick person. This isn't sexy. I want a partner, not a patient." Within 6 months, he served me divorce papers while I was adjusting to medication that made me vomit daily. He told mutual friends I was using illness as an excuse not to contribute. I moved back in with my parents, broke, shaking, depressed, but life didn't stop. I learned to manage, got a mobility dog, started swimming. Then I joined a group for adaptive athletes. Turns out I was strong in the water, really strong. A trainer spotted me, and in 2 years, I was competing at the national level. Last year, I qualified for the Paralympics. My name trended briefly on Twitter. I got interview requests, fan letters, and one DM that said, "You were always a fighter. I just didn't know how to stand beside someone like you." From him, I just replied with a gold medal emoji. Story 32. He hated that I was a dancer. Not because he didn't like dance. He did, at first, but because of the time, the discipline, and especially the men in the company. "Too close," he'd say. "Too obsessed." He made me feel guilty every time I rehearsed late or skipped dinner to train. When I pulled a hamstring and lost a role I'd spent months on, I crumbled. Cried in bed for 2 days. He said, "Maybe it's time to grow up and get a real job." That's when he left. Said I'd never go pro anyway. Said I peaked at 23. I quit for a while. Got a receptionist job. Told myself I was done. But one night, I danced alone in my apartment and cried so hard I couldn't breathe. That's when I knew I wasn't done. I was just wounded. So I tried again. Auditioned. Got into a touring company at 26. Traveled for 3 years across Europe, Asia, the US. Last month, I danced the lead in Giselle at the same theater where I once performed in high school. A reporter called it transcendent. My ex? He was in the front row. Saw his name on the comp list afterward. Must have come with a friend. I didn't say a word to him. But I held my final bow just a little longer. And I swear he knew the whole performance was my way of saying, "You were so wrong." Story 33. He was my first real boyfriend. We dated through college, lived together after graduation. When I came out as bisexual, he laughed. Said, "That's just a phase. You're confused." Then he started accusing me of checking out women all the time. Called me greedy. When I protested, he said, "You're emotionally messy. This is why people don't take you seriously." After our last fight, he told me, "You need therapy, not a relationship." Then he posted a TikTok about dating someone who thought sexuality was a personality trait. I didn't even respond. I just moved out and disappeared from his life. I started therapy, yes, but also poetry. I'd always written, but I dove deep into identity, shame, and joy. One poem about bisexuality went viral, then another. I got a book deal, a tour, an entire queer anthology named after one of my lines. A friend said he posted a tweet a few months ago. "Wild seeing your ex become the face of a movement." Good. Because I used to feel invisible. Now I speak for thousands. Story 34. She used to call my job lame. I was a paramedic. She thought it was low class, said I should aim higher, like law or business. When I missed our anniversary dinner because of a 10-car pileup, she didn't even ask if I was okay. Just said, "You're always running to someone else's crisis." When I came home bloodied and exhausted, she was already halfway packed. Said she wanted a man with a real future. 6 months later, I was first on the scene at a gas station explosion. Rescued a trapped teenager, gave CPR to a child. It made the local news. Then CNN, a body cam clip of me carrying a woman through flames went viral. I received a national medal for heroism. The mayor gave me a plaque. Guess who texted? I miss how safe you made me feel. I didn't respond. I was too busy training the next wave of medics. Story 35. She was the outgoing one. Loud, charming, the type who lit up every room. I was quieter, analytical, an engineer. I liked puzzles, code, silence. She said I was too boring and emotionally cold, even though I supported her every dream. When I got passed over for a promotion after years of overwork, I hit a low point. She said, "Maybe this is your wake-up call to stop hiding behind screens." Then she left. Moved in with a drummer. A literal drummer. I spent a year rebuilding, inside and out. Started going to therapy, rediscovered my love for robotics. Designed a prototype for a mobility aid that used predictive movement. A professor friend encouraged me to submit it to a tech competition. I won. Then got funding. Then another round. Now I run a startup that develops assistive tech for stroke survivors. She commented on a Forbes article about me with a heart emoji. I left it there, let it sit, like a monument to a version of me she never took the time to understand. Story 36. We were in a band together. He was the lead singer, I was the bassist. We started out in basements, bars, and coffee shops. He loved the attention, especially from other women. I was more focused on the music, the writing, the creative grind. When I started struggling with performance anxiety, he rolled his eyes. Said, "You're dead weight if you can't handle a crowd." Then one night, just before a show, he told me they were replacing me. Right there in the green room. "You're not cut out for this," he said, and walked off with a new bassist, also his new girlfriend, apparently. I left the music scene, spent months in silence. Then I started producing alone, at home, teaching myself mixing and vocal layering. Eventually dropped a solo EP, quietly. An indie playlist picked it up. One track went viral on Spotify, Ghost in the Green Room. Fast forward 2 years, I performed that song on a festival stage, solo, with 10,000 people screaming the chorus. Guess who opened the same festival on the side stage at noon? He messaged me later that night. "You turned into someone I always hoped I could be." I replied, "I always was. You just needed me small." Story 37. He was a self-help junkie, always reading something about optimizing life, maximizing productivity, leveling up. At first, it inspired me, then it exhausted me. When I lost my job during a corporate restructure, I spiraled. He told me, "You attract failure because you think like a loser." Then he left. He sent me a voice memo 2 days later, no apology, just him saying, "Maybe this will push you to stop being mediocre." So I started walking every morning. No big plan, just movement. Walked miles, started listening to podcasts, then started recording my own. They were quiet thoughts, little fragments about grief, capitalism, identity, burnout. I called it the Sidewalk Diaries. People started sharing it, then quoting it. I got picked up by a podcast network. This year, I won a Webby. He tagged me in a story last week with a screenshot of an episode and wrote, "Can't believe my ex is famous now." I didn't repost it, but my next episode was called "When They Call You Lazy, But You're Just Still Becoming." Story 38. She broke up with me because I was too spiritual. I meditated, journaled, and worked at a nature retreat after burning out in tech. She called it hippie nonsense and told her friends I was lost and pretending to be enlightened. When my mom died, she didn't even come to the funeral. She said, "I'm not good with that kind of stuff. I don't do grief." That was the end. I grieved alone, spent a year hiking, volunteered at a mindfulness center in Nepal. I let go of the idea of achievement and found peace in simplicity. Then one day, I was invited to lead a guided meditation at a corporate wellness retreat. Someone recorded it. It went viral. Suddenly, I was being asked to speak on podcasts, host retreats, even consult for burned-out CEOs. She DM'd me after seeing a clip. "You always had this calm? I think I just didn't know how to value it." I wished her well, but my peace didn't need her apology. Story 39. We were foster parents. Not full-time, just temporary placements. I loved the work. He pretended to. When we got a child who'd suffered severe trauma, everything changed. The boy didn't speak for the first 2 weeks. Needed constant care. I poured myself into helping him feel safe.
My ex resented every second, said, "This is killing our relationship." I told him it wasn't about us, it was about the kid. He said, "Exactly," and left. He ghosted both of us. I kept going, got certified, took in more kids, eventually adopted that boy. He calls me mom now. Last year, I was honored at a foster care conference for placing over 30 kids into permanent homes. A local paper did a feature. A few weeks later, I got a letter in the mail, handwritten from my ex. It said, "I see now I wasn't strong enough for the love you gave. I'm sorry for not staying." I burned the letter. My son watched and asked why. I told him, "Because we don't need people who leave in the fire." Story 40. He left me when I went back to school at 40. I had raised our kids, supported his business, and put my own dreams on hold for 2 decades. When I enrolled in college again, he said, "You're too old to compete. No one wants a grandma in the boardroom." Then he cheated with a 27-year-old he met at a conference. I cried for weeks. Then I got mad. Then I graduated, top of my class. Got hired by a marketing firm that valued my experience. Within 2 years, I was creative director. At 45, I gave a TEDx talk on second chances. At 46, I bought my first house. Alone. He emailed me last year. "I always knew you were smart. Just didn't think you'd outgrow me." I replied, "I didn't outgrow you. You just stopped walking forward." Then I clicked archive and went back to preparing my keynote speech. Story 41. She said I was too obsessed with animals. I was a vet tech, and sometimes my shifts ran late if a surgery took longer or if someone dropped a sick dog at closing. She'd roll her eyes and say, "You love pets more than people." When I had to cancel a weekend trip because a rescue litter needed overnight care, she dumped me. Cold. Said she was tired of being second to dying cats. She even posted a selfie the next day with the caption, "Back to dating humans, not hobby martyrs." I was crushed. I almost quit the job. But then a local animal shelter asked me to help design their low-income vet outreach program. I threw myself into it. 3 years later, I was running the program across 4 counties. We'd saved over 2,000 animals from being surrendered or euthanized. A news station did a story on it. One of the clips went viral on Facebook. And guess who commented? Her. "Always knew you had a big heart. Congrats." I didn't reply, but I donated $100 in her name to the shelter, just for poetic balance. Story 42. He said I was too weird because I made cosplay costumes. Said it was immature, a waste of time, and no one normal would take me seriously. Every time I crafted a new piece, he mocked it. Called me Plastic Cinderella. Then, when I got laid off during a recession, he told me, "Maybe now you'll stop playing dress up and get real." He moved out a week later. With nothing to lose, I doubled down on what I loved. Started posting time-lapse builds. Sewing, foam armor, painting, wig design. One of my TikToks hit 1 million views. Then a big YouTuber shared my work. Before I knew it, I was flying to conventions, featured on panels, and designing outfits for video game promos. A brand asked me to co-host their cosplay reality show. He sent me a DM after seeing a clip online. Said, "Damn, should have believed in your magic," I replied with a gif of Maleficent raising an eyebrow. That's all. Felt better than a monologue. Story 43. I was working as a high school science teacher. Not glamorous, not high-paying, but I loved it. She, on the other hand, constantly compared me to her exes, finance bros, surgeons, guys who wore Rolexes to brunch. When I came home after a bad day, one of my students had attempted self-harm, she scoffed and said, "Why do you care so much? You're just a babysitter for teenagers." That night, she went to a party without me, came back drunk and told me she kissed someone. I asked if she felt guilty. She said, "Not really. I think you're holding me back." So I let her go. Over the next year, I worked on a side project, a chemistry learning app I'd been developing for my students. One of them shared it on Reddit. It blew up. Then got funded by an edtech nonprofit. Now it's used in over 300 schools nationwide. Last week, I saw her at a grocery store. She said, "Wow, you look like you've made it." I smiled and said, "I just stopped letting people shrink my passion to fit their comfort." Story 44. He hated that I was sober. We met before I quit drinking, back when I was partying hard. When I got clean, he was supportive, at first. But then the resentment crept in. He still drank and it made things messy. He'd pressure me, say I was no fun anymore, tell our friends I had lost my spark. I relapsed once. Just once. And he used it against me. Told me I was a failure. A week later, I found out he'd slept with someone else. "I need someone who can actually relax," he said. "Not someone always trying to fix herself." I went back to AA the next day. Day one, again. This time I did it for real. And I started writing about it. Essays, letters, messy truth. I submitted one to a recovery magazine. They published it. Years later, I've got a published memoir, a podcast, and over 150,000 followers reading my words about sobriety and self-forgiveness. I've helped strangers hold on. He messaged me from a burner account, "I miss the real you." And I replied, "You never met her." Story 45. She called me a failure in slow motion. I was a PhD student in philosophy, taking longer than most because I was also caring for my dad with Parkinson's. I taught classes, published papers, but progress was slow. She was a marketing executive, fast, loud, successful, and tired of explaining my nerdy projects to her friends. When I missed her product launch party to take my dad to a specialist appointment, she screamed at me and left. Said she was tired of being dragged down by invisible work. It crushed me. Not because she left, but because she made me feel like care was weakness. I finished my dissertation, barely. But then I adapted my research into a book, Ethics in Silence, The Philosophy of Care. It found its way into the hands of a university press. Now I guest lecture at Ivy Leagues and consult on medical ethics panels. She emailed me after seeing a TEDx talk I gave. Her message said, "I finally get what you were doing." I deleted it. Some understand only when it's too late. And that's not my burden to carry anymore. Story 46. We were building a life together. Or so I thought. He was the architect, the planner, the one with vision. I was the supportive partner, as he liked to say. I worked two jobs while he studied for his license. I packed our lunches. I paid half the mortgage on the house he insisted we buy for our future. But when I got laid off from my publishing job and sank into depression, he said I was dragging us down. He stopped talking to me about anything real. One morning, I woke up to a note on the kitchen counter. "You're not the person I fell in love with anymore." He moved out the next day. A month later, I saw a tagged post. Him in a cabin with a new girl smiling, building their new life. I started writing again. Short stories first, then essays. All fiction, but all of it mined from the quiet anger I'd never expressed. One piece went viral, then another got published. 3 years later, I was on a panel at a major lit festival with a debut novel out, The Empty Half of the House. He emailed me after it hit the NYT list. "Did I inspire any of the characters?" I replied,
"You have 5 new messages."
"Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?"
"Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today." "Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?"
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Yes, but not the hero. Story 47. She called me a project. I was overweight, unemployed, and going through a rough patch after being let go from a job I'd held for 6 years. She said she'd help me get it together. What she actually meant was, "Let me fix you until you're someone I can show off." She pushed crash diets, posted photos of our workouts, and treated my job search like a reality show. When I had a panic attack in a job interview, she called it weakness. A week later, she left. Posted a breakup TikTok with a smirking, "Sometimes you outgrow people." I started walking, then running. Not for her, just for my sanity. Slowly lost weight, but more importantly, rebuilt confidence. Got a remote IT gig, then another. Took night classes, got certified. Now I lead cybersecurity for a Fortune 500 company. She messaged me recently, "You're looking amazing. I'm glad I helped you get there." I didn't reply, but I posted a photo of my desk, my dog, and my life, with the caption, "You weren't the catalyst. You were the lesson." Story 48. We were in the same improv troupe. She was hilarious, magnetic, quick. I was quieter, but good at the long game. Slow builds, writing, callbacks. She got more laughs, I got more eye rolls from her. Eventually, we started dating. I thought she saw something in me. But after a few months, I bombed hard at a big regional show. She didn't comfort me, just said, well, maybe this isn't your thing. A week later, she announced she was going solo, said we didn't have chemistry, dumped me at a rehearsal. I stayed in the scene but pivoted to sketch writing and directing. Less spotlight, more substance. I developed a satirical show with a few friends that eventually got picked up by a streaming services comedy incubator. This year, we debuted season one of our sketch series. Guess who auditioned for a guest spot? I cast her. Let her play a role written about a narcissistic ex-comedian. She didn't get it. But the audience laughed in all the right places. Story 49. He dumped me after I was assaulted. Not immediately. He waited 2 months. Enough time to pretend he was supportive, to say the right things. But then he started getting distant, annoyed, restless. He'd snap at me for crying, flinch when I touched him, say things like, I just miss how things used to be. Eventually, he admitted it. I can't be with someone broken like this. It's like you're someone else now. That hurt more than anything else. So I started boxing, to get strong again. Not just my body, but my brain, my confidence. The gym became my temple. I found people who didn't flinch around my trauma. I became a coach, then a mentor. I now run a women's self-defense program and speak at colleges about surviving and rebuilding. 3 years later, he showed up to a public seminar I was leading, stood in the back, arms crossed. After, he tried to talk. Said I looked stronger, happier. I said, you left when I needed a teammate. Now I lead armies. And I turned away.